At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Dr. Drysdale is a 30-year healthcare industry veteran. He is the CEO of Cybin. They are a biopharmaceutical company focused on psychedelic therapies to address mental health challenges. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Hey, George. Good to see you. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, I appreciate the time. Tell us a little about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, thanks for that. Look, you're right. I've been involved in drug development for 30, 35 years or so in different roles, building companies to sort of building engines to do that. And it's been a good career and a good experience. But, you know, it's easy to become a little bit cynical about the whole pharma model. I think a lot of people are. And I have my own cynicisms with it, too, in that when I look back at the sort of track record, and you realize that in general, as drugs get developed, they're just a little bit better than the one before it, right? And incrementally better. And that's the way science is. It's sort of incremental. We learn a little bit more. The next drug's a little bit better than the last one, and it's kind of rare that you make these big leaps forward. It happens, but it's pretty unusual. And so that's why I'm at Cybin, is because what we're seeing is this opportunity to really leap forward and completely change the mental health treatment landscape. And these treatments we can talk about kind of act like pharmaceutical interventions. So instead of the daily kind of grind of trying to reduce someone's depression symptoms, for example, we can put people on a different path very rapidly and for long periods of time with just one or two doses of these treatments. So it's for me, it's like a once in a career, once in a lifetime opportunity to really make a big difference.
Well, that's certainly an exciting thing. So
it is. I mean, honestly, we can talk about it, but honestly, some of the results we're seeing I hate to say this as a biotech executive, but pretty close to being miraculous. That's kind of, I'm reluctant to say it because it just sounds not credible. We're really seeing life-changing results.
So mental health is a great big term. So what is the problem that Cybin is working to solve?
Yeah, so specifically right now, we have a couple of programs. One's focused on depression. Major depressive disorder, which is a sort of formal term for depression. And the other is focused on anxiety disorders, specifically generalized anxiety disorder. You know, in psychiatry, there's a whole range of different syndromes that all kind of merge together, but basically depression and anxiety. In the future, these substances seem to have a potential in other conditions too, bipolar disorder potentially, cluster headache, strangely, migraine, maybe chronic pain, alcohol use, opioid use. So there's much broader potential in the future, but right now, anxiety disorders and depression.
And when I research mental health problems, I get a lot of different statistics, and I get a lot of different statistics on how many Americans, so I'm not sure people all over the world are in treatment for mental health. What is the landscape look like when it pertains to your work right now on depression and anxiety?
So depression, if you look at the official numbers, is something like, well, mental health disorders, which includes depression, anxiety, eating disorders, all of these, something like 1 billion people around the world. To me, that sounds like a small proportion. I think we would all suspect the number's bigger than that. Depression specifically, about 300 million people globally, 21 million people in the U.S. 40 million people in the U.S. are taking SSRIs, drugs like Prozac and Lexapro. I suspect that there are a lot more people that are not diagnosed or not treated, choose not to be treated in many cases because of either stigma or because of the side effects and various other things. So those numbers are big enough, but I suspect they're underreported.
And how does what you're doing differ from SSRIs?
So, look, I mean, we've been using SSRIs for 40 plus years. Prozac was the first one, discovered in the early 80s, a big breakthrough. And no question, first time we actually had something the patient could take that was tolerable, and could impact their depression. Typically, with SSRIs, about a third of patients find themselves in remission, which means no depression, and then two thirds typically end up with some kind of blunting, emotional blunting is the term. So it'll blunt the depression, but not remove it, reduce the symptoms. Also tends to blunt all emotions. So there's a kind of lack of joy as well, which is unfortunate. They're dosed daily. They take 4 to 6 weeks to work. So it's a fairly slow process. Patients have to wait, work through that. And then they can encounter some side effects, weight gain, sexual dysfunction, insomnia, some cognitive effects. So they work for some people. I think a lot of people we speak to on SSRIs wish they weren't on them, wish they weren't taking this daily thing that are not addictive per se, but they become an emotional crutch for people to be on. And what we're seeing with our treatment is that we're not treating daily. We have a regimen which is two doses, 3 weeks apart. After two doses, we see 75% of patients in remission, so free from their depression. And we followed up patients for a year in our phase two study. 70% of patients still in remission 1 year later after just two doses. So we see about 40-50% of patients in remission after a single dose, about 75% after two doses. So the two-dose regimen seems to be helpful. But the real benefits is that we see effects within a day of the first dose for a lot of people, and after two doses for most patients, benefits lasting for a year. So we can get rid of this daily dosing, we hope, rid of the daily side effects, and free up a heck of a lot of resources. Obviously, you can imagine depressed patients are quite resource intense in that they see their physician 6 or 9 times a year. They're tweaking their medication, they're dealing with side effects. They may have other comorbidities like hypertension or diabetes. And it means that only about 18% of psychiatrists are available to see new patients. It's pretty hard. If anyone's tried to see a psychiatrist or a psychotherapist, it takes a while, 40 to 70 days for a first visit. So the system's all jammed up, lack of resources, high touch patients. So if we can give just patients just two doses and have them out of the system for a year or so at a time, we've only tested for a year so far, that has ramifications not just for patients, but for the entire mental health care system.
Seems like that's a bad business model, Doug. You should have people using your product over and over again.
Well, there are 21 million people. It may take us a while to get through all of those. I don't think there's going to be any shortage of patients, unfortunately.
Was that's sort of a dark joke I made there,
I know.
obviously. So
Hey,
you said
if we put ourselves out of business, George, I could sleep well at night. That'd be okay.
that, yeah, that there's no doubt about that. I think that we talked about at the top just people being cynical about maybe healthcare and pharma, and I think a lot of that is because we perceive much of it to be sort of a business model where I am the product and you just want me as the person to be in your system and using not yours but using these products forever. And I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in getting better, and I'm sure that that's what everybody wants. So to hear this, that with just two doses, 75% of people are in remission after the first year, and a large percentage of those remain there is incredible. What's the secret?
Well, the secret is we have to get it approved still. So we're in late stage trials now. We've been working with FDA. FDA has granted us breakthrough therapy status, which basically means they give us all this fast track resources to help us get to the finish line more efficiently. So these results were in a fairly small phase two study, 36 patients, and now our job is to repeat those results or get close to that in about 500 patients, which is what we're doing now. We've started that last phase of development.
And are you extremely confident? Are you cautiously confident? Are you stressing out?
I'm confident. Yeah, absolutely, I am. There's three things that you have to worry about, I think, with clinical trials. The first is always safety. I think we're confident in the safety profile. There's a big benefit of not having to dose every day because you're not having, all these potential side effects daily. The second is efficacy. Will it work? I think we've shown pretty spectacularly that it'll work. Will it work as well in a much larger population? No, the numbers will come down, but they'll still be dramatically, we expect, better than anything else that's been approved so far. And then the third issue is execution. 500 patients, two studies, 40 con a dozen countries, 80 sites. It gets complex, that's where my focus is. Not so much on, I'm not worried about safety and efficacy. We're all focused on execution.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location while supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Yeah, well, that certainly does make sense. So, wondering if it will work. I mentioned at the top that this is a psychedelic therapy. So what is it?
Yeah, that's a good question. So psilocybin is a well-known molecule now. It originally derived from magic mushrooms. That's where most people have heard of it. That's the psychedelic molecule. Psilocybin itself is not active. It's a prodrug. So it's an agent that when you ingest it, it has to be metabolized to psilocin, which is the active agent in the body. So we ingest mushrooms, convert them to psilocin. What we've done at Cybin is we've created a synthetic version, so we don't have to go out and grow mushrooms. You don't have to worry about the inevitable variability between species and between fungi. So we can repeatedly synthesize this in a pure way. And by developing just the active agent psilocin, we remove the metabolic step and we remove the inefficiency of that metabolism. So we make the whole thing more efficient. And then we've applied another technology called deuteration. And this is where we take selective hydrogen atoms on the molecule. We substitute those for heavy hydrogen or deuterium. And we change the way that the molecule gets through the body to the site of action, the brain. So we're not changing how it works. You don't want to mess with that once you know something works. But we're changing, making it more efficient at getting into the brain. So we get better brain penetration, higher potency, so we can give lower doses. So it's a modified version of a natural compound that you would find in magic mushrooms, refined, modified, and synthesized. And we're calling it CYB3, which is our code name for it. Very catchy, as I'm sure you'd agree. So that's the compound, and yes, it produces psychedelic effects. Patients will be dosed in a clinical setting under supervision. It's a safe environment. typically we have them wear an eye mask and we have them wear a headset, cutting out all external distractions. We don't want them to be distracted by, a light fitting or a picture on the wall that might lead to visual effects. We want them focused inwards, and they focus inwards, and they spend four to six hours focused inwards and focus on doing the psychological work internally. The compound acts like a tool that enables them to rewire their negative patterns of thinking. So one of the challenges in depression and anxiety disorders that people get into these maladaptive, negative, spiraling patterns of thinking, rumination, like ruts in the snow if you're skiing, they can't get out of. And so this tool, psilocin, generates what we call neuroplasticity, so new networks and connections being formed in the brain. But essentially, it's just a way for them to think differently. And they spend this 4 to 6 hours realizing that or learning how to overcome some of those patterns that they've been stuck in for so long, sometimes decades, and they can think about things in a different way. And I think it's this fact that there's some structural change where they're learning new patterns that leads to the durability. So this is not just the tablet that somebody takes that deals with the symptoms and then the symptoms come back when you stop taking the tablet. They've fundamentally changed their way of thinking, which is quite remarkable.
That is absolutely remarkable. All right. So first, how did somebody figure out that psilocybin could potentially have this benefit of alleviating mental health challenges? And then from there, how do you figure out how to synthesize it? And then finally, isn't it illegal?
Well, it's illegal to sell it. It's not illegal to research it. So look, I mean, we've been using as a species psychedelic compounds for millennia. Mushrooms, ayahuasca, DMT, various other plants. DMT actually occurs naturally in our brain. So these are all naturally occurring compounds, and they've been used in peyote is another one. And so we've been using these ritualistically. In the 60s and 70s, I think there was a lot of studying of these compounds. We realized they could have impacts on mental health disorders. Unfortunately, some of those activities got off track, and the whole thing kind of went off track and led, frankly, all that behavior led to the creation of the DEA and the war on drugs and kind of shut down psychedelic research for 50, 60 years or so. So, now we're back to it. These are fairly simple molecules to synthesize. What's been occurring, though, in the last decade is a better understanding of how they work. We still don't know fully the whole downstream mechanisms, but we know which receptors they bind to in the brain. We know from studies using fMRI, neuroimaging, that when a patient is taking psilocybin or psilocin, massive new networks and connections are being formed in the brain. Parts of the brain that don't normally talk to each other start doing so. It's like the kind of the control center, which was called the default mode network. It's like the control center of the brain gets relaxed. So if you think about our brain protects us. We have all these stimuli from all of our senses, our eyes, our ears, whatever, and like a fire hose coming in at us all the time. But our brain filters it all and creates a, for want of a better word, a simulation that we can handle, that we don't go crazy dealing with all of this stuff coming in. And our brain also protects us by helping us create habits. So, for example, when you learn to ride a bike, you don't have to learn again every time. Walking up the stairs, walking up a curb, you can walk up the stairs on your phone or reading a book, not even looking what you're doing, because your body, your brain has learned how to do that. And these habits generally, one, they prevent us from having to relearn, but two, they protect us for safety. But the downside of that is when you get into negative habits, negative thinking, that they're also reinforced by the brain as well. So it appears that this default mode network, which is the control center, may be relaxed by this neuroplasticity and help us get out of some of those negative patterns of thinking.
That's also fascinating. It's fascinating how the human brain works, and then how you're able to identify that this thing all of a sudden starts activating our brains in a different way, and how it all connects. So super cool. And for the illegal thing, you said it's illegal to sell but not study. So how is all that going to play into the success long term of the company?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, these drugs are scheduled by the DEA. Schedule one is the category. It basically means that they can't be commercially sold. It actually means that they're not medically useful, which is kind of interesting. So each of the sites that touch compound, study compound, whether it's clinical, manufacturing, lab testing, they all have to have a DEA license. So it adds some complexity, it adds some time, adds some costs to the work we're doing, but it's not insurmountable, clearly. We've been doing this for a while. And once we get through the FDA process and the product is deemed to be safe and effective, it no longer meets that criteria of not medically useful. So DEA is enforced to reschedule, and then it would be scheduled to something lower, schedule two or schedule three. It doesn't really matter too much, but anything below schedule one could be commercially sold within certain restrictions. So it would mean controlled distribution, prescription only, of course, under medical supervision. But we have to go through this R&D process in order to sort of get the DEA to reschedule. And I know there's lots of calls for these kind of compounds to be legalized, and I get that. I think that's a little bit ahead of the science. You know, what we're doing here is trying to go down a route where the science is unquestionable, and there's already a regulatory pathway to provide access to these treatments once they're approved.
Again, really, really exciting. So for people who are listening who suffer from mental health, which is a lot of us, what does the future look like for them and for Cybin? And then for folks who are listening who say, well, this is a late stage company still looking for investment, I believe. And of course, there's no guarantees. Anytime we invest money, we don't know what's going to happen. But for folks who are interested in potentially investing, how can they move forward as well?
Sure. So you're right. We're late stage. We're in the final stage of development, likely 3 years roughly before we get to see an approval, something in that kind of ballpark. It just depends upon how quickly the trials finish up. And then hopefully we expect then to be able to offer this to patients with depression. And our goal is to ensure that we have the data to make sure that these treatments are fully reimbursed by healthcare companies. That's the ultimate goal, to maximize access. Yet beyond that, I mentioned that these treatments might work in a whole range of different conditions. And so once we've gotten through this first one, there are lots of other areas that we'll be tackling as well. We're a public company. We are traded on the New York Stock Exchange. The symbol is CYBN, available through your brokerage or through Robinhood or whatever it is, tools that you use. You can find more information about the company at cybin.com, that's CYBIN.com. Feel free to reach out with any questions. We are, as you say, in that late stage, and very excited about sort of how far we've come. We've come this far from inception of the molecule to phase three, which is final stage, in about 3.5 years, which is 2 to 3 times faster than you typically see from big pharma.
Outstanding. I love it. Well, Doug, thank you so much for coming on. If you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Doug your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to cybin.com, CYBIN.com, and dig deeper into what Doug has been sharing with us today. Educate yourself on it. And then if you are interested, go to your favorite brokerage platform and type CYBN. which is the ticker, and see if it's a good opportunity for you to get involved from an investment standpoint as well. Thanks again, Doug.
Thanks, George. Appreciate it.
Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, more terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details. This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.